Thank you so much for rejoining us for the second half of our Brother Bob's Outreach Ministry interview. Brother Dick Bowers is with us, and Dick, glad to have you back this morning. You were telling us about just a really neat ministry to folks who are incarcerated all across our state and just great opportunities for ministry. We were talking as we closed our broadcast the last time about somehow getting involved, and we were talking about a pen pal ministry, and I want you to get a piece of paper as you're listening to our broadcast, because in a few moments we're going to give you the website, and there on the website you can contact them. We'll give you a phone number as well. If you have any interest during the course of this broadcast and you say, wow, that's something I'd like to become involved in, then you can jot that down. Well, Dick, tell us a bit about how the ministry is funded, if you will.
The ministry is funded by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that very sincerely, that Brother Bob always said, and I've picked up on that and totally agree with him, that if the Holy Spirit wanted the ministry to continue, he had to bring us the people and he had to bring us the resources.
Okay.
We have never done a fundraiser. We're a totally volunteer ministry. We have one paid part-time person, and that's a secretary that works for me, that does all the coordination with the prisons. And so it's through the generosity of people. We actually get some funds back from some of the inmates that they send us dollar or two.
Yeah.
Which is greatly appreciated. We have a couple of churches that include us in their mission types of programs.
Okay.
But we have a very economical kind of ministry with everybody being a volunteer. I mean, our budget is not very big.
Right.
But we can always use a little help, but we don't need a whole lot.
Okay. And as we were talking last time, you were mentioning about sports teams going in and playing basketball and softball. And so as these teams come in, they play the prison team. Is there just one team, or sometimes if it's a larger prison, they have several teams?
Oh, yeah. Most of the prisons have a number of teams.
Okay.
They have actually leagues, basketball leagues, volleyball.
Mm.
Not so much the volleyball, but definitely with basketball and softball leagues, they have leagues. And when our teams go in, most of the time we will be playing against an all-star prison team.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Where the program director or the athletic director in the institution will select the people. And our teams are going up against some pretty good teams, good people. And we've got some pretty good teams, too. They do very well. Yeah.
Now, how is the gospel shared during times like that?
Normally what's happening there is that just during the course of the games, with a timeout or a change of innings, those types of things, you have the opportunity to mix and talk with the inmates and vice versa.
Yeah.
So there's just general conversation that's going on during the course of the game and before the game. After the game, they normally will have us close a prayer circle. Well, they'll come together, and it's usually the Brother Bob's leaders that will lead the prayer circle. They'll meet out in the field or out in the court. They'll have a few minutes to visit with each other and mix after the games, and then they join in a prayer circle.
Mm-hmm.
And most all the institutions that our teams are going into, we also have Bible studies going on. We have the worship services that we're doing. So it gives a chance to the inmates to say, hey, they've come to our studies or they know us, or vice versa for the team members to suggest to the guys that they look up the ministries that we're doing there and come to one of our events. So it's, you know, kind of a cross-pollination there.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of an effort to be in contact with the families of these inmates?
No, we have really no contact with the inmates' families.
Okay.
We're not allowed to do that under state law, under what they call the fraternization rules. That's one of the things that we cannot do. And Wisconsin is very strict on that, in that with people that are going into the prisons, doing the things inside the prison, but if we're involved, like Brother Bob's does not do anything in an aftercare type of ministry where we're dealing with people once they're released, except to try and plug them into other aftercare ministries. You know, I can take a person that I know from a prison and take them and introduce them to a pastor at my church or whatever.
Okay.
But that's where we're limited. We cannot do any more than that.
But if you knew somebody that was leaving and they said to you, Brother Dick, do you know a church back in my hometown? You could possibly get that pastor and that person together after they left the prison.
Very much so.
And
that's one of the things that I do on my one-on-ones. I do a fair amount of that when guys are getting out. I can take in brochures and pamphlets and stuff. about those aftercare ministries to purposely get them in contact with those ministries.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were also talking last time about maybe the church is kind of acting as a book collection center for good Christian books or Bibles that could be placed in the prisons. And this is obviously something that, as you go online, you can be in contact with the Brother Bob's outreach ministry and find out, okay, how can we get these books to you? And let me read that website information to you. It's www.brotherbobs.org, O-R-G. So www.brotherbobs.org. The phone number, 262-392-9808. And so I know the folks would really appreciate hearing from you, just knowing that you're praying for them, and if there's anything that you can do to possibly be of service to them, if you'd like to volunteer. Do you need more volunteers? Let me ask that.
Yes, we can always use volunteers.
Okay.
To be going in, to be being involved in worship services and music groups, or people who want to deliver the word and do the preaching.
Okay, all right.
We can use those. We can use people to be involved in our Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
So, very much so. We're looking for people inside the prisons as well as pen pals, those types of things.
You know, you mentioned music. I should have thought of that, but if music begins to be played, it will attract folks that maybe weren't even thinking about coming to the services, but, hey, that sounds good. They may hear a trio singing or something along that line, and they say, well, let's go check that out.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't just really, if they hear the music, most of the time they're going to need to be signed up in advance to go to worship services, so and then they can't just walk into the service in the mediums and maximum security prisons.
Okay.
But it certainly gives them the opportunity. They hear a group, or like you're saying, they can hear those, or the word of mouth spreads.
Sure,
and,
sure.
So, music is very much appreciated and a big part of the ministry.
That would be really something neat for our hearers to just begin to think about, wow, do we have folks in our church that could go and sing? I remember when I was just a kid, my brother and I played a saxophone and a trumpet, and my dad and mom would go to a rescue mission. My dad would speak, lead the music, my mom would play the piano, and my brother and I would play some special music. I don't know how much they appreciated it, but it gave us a good opportunity to just kind of have a ministry for the Lord. And we did that quite often.
Well, when we're through here today, we'll sign you up.
Oh, there you go. Well, all three of them are with the Lord, so it's just me left now.
Okay.
But as I think about the foundation of this ministry, is there a scripture verse that the Lord just is using to just kind of focus the attention on prison?
Sure, there's a couple of them. The passages we talk about in Matthew there and in Hebrews is talking about visiting those in prison as if they were your fellow brother. So, yes, those would be the ones.
So Hebrews 13:3, I think you're talking about, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what you call empathy, isn't it?
Sure, yes.
You're not just sympathizing.
Well, it's like most everything in Scripture, it's definitely a two-way street as well, that when we go in there with them, that's what we're doing. We are with them, and they're ministering back to us the same as we are to them.
That is so true.
Yeah. We get far more than we give, I think. I know I have over the years.
Yeah, yeah. I also notice on your list here of types of services that you provide is something called calendars. I didn't hear anything about that. What was that?
Oh, yeah, that's a very popular thing with us. Inmates don't get access to a calendar. We take calendars for granted. A lot of us get 3 or 4 or 5 of them in the mail every year. Inmates don't get calendars, and so they have a big demand for them. We print about 35,000 calendars each year that we give out to each of the institutions, and it's set up to read through the Bible in a year is what we're doing this year. We have different passages of Scripture to help people read through the Bible in a year. We have a listing of some resources on there as well, and it's very well received within the prisons. We give those out, send in literally boxes of them to the institutions, get them to the chaplains, and then the chaplains handle distributing those.
And so on the walls of their cells or wherever they are, they could have that hanging and just Scripture right in front of their eyes.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah, right. A lot of them, they use it to read through the Scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, folks, as you're listening to our broadcast this morning, the Lord may lay on your heart to possibly send in a contribution that would print 1,000 of those or 10,000 of those and become involved in an active way. So many times we hear things, we say, oh, that's a neat idea. It shouldn't stop with, oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
You know, it ought to go beyond, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And be asking, okay, Lord, where do I fit into this program? Is this something that you're laying on my heart? And, of course, that's one of the purposes of the broadcast a couple of days ago and today.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to visit with you about it. And if there's questions that people have or whatever, we hope that they get a hold of us.
Right. Can you think of maybe a story of a life change through your ministry or someone else's ministry that would just begin to help us visualize what actually takes place through these ministries?
Other than my life change that I've had as a result of the ministry, that's been probably the biggest one, is the impact that it's had on me personally. But yes, we have stories with the inmates. And one that stands out with me is that there was a man I was visiting with that was originally from the Milwaukee area. This goes back probably 20 years ago now. I went into a study one night, and he was kind of sitting off to the side. And I went over and was visiting with him, and he wanted to talk a little bit. So we went and actually went over and sat on the steps in the chapel area that led upstairs. And he started talking to me about how he was at the end of his rope and everything, and he had suicide in mind. And we talked about it, and we prayed together, and I just kind of had to turn it over to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our conversation. But I didn't know how serious he was about this. And I then mentioned it to the chaplain, which I think is important for us to do. But about 8 months later, and I'd seen this guy, he started coming to the studies then after that. About 8 months later, he was getting out, and he actually was going to be leaving the country. And I got a call from the chaplain. He asked me to come in, and he said that this man wanted to have communion with me. And he told me at that point in time, when we had communion together, that he was serious. He had it all planned. He was going to commit suicide.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was just the Holy Spirit. I get goose pimples now.
That's the truth. Yeah.
You know, that the Holy Spirit brought us together at the right time.
From one soul that was right on the brink of eternity in hell.
Yeah.
2 months later, getting out of prison.
Yeah.
A born-again believer.
Yeah.
And wanting to have communion together
with
you. What a precious privilege that is. But I think it's like you said just a few moments ago, the life change for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
You know, I mean, when you start investing your life in the lives of other people, what a awesome opportunity it is for you to see life is more than just being in business, making money, turning a profit. Life is about touching life. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us today and for listening to Dick Bauer's testimony. That website again is www.brotherbobs.org, and you can go on there and just check to see what all needs to be done and what you can do to be a part of this ministry. Phone number 262-392-9808. I trust that you will follow the Lord's leadership, become involved, pray much for the ministry of these folks, and ask God, how does he want me to be involved? Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.